Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Prey Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 242 of Nerd Pride Radio. 242, this summer marked 242 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. There you go. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to have wrong about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pride studios in New New York. Before we do anything else, updates! So, a long time ago, I discussed the words for collective nouns, the words for groups of things, a parliament of owls, a murder of crows, a pride of lions. And while some of these have become common parlance at the time that I brought them up, I was complaining that most of them are just made up and stupid. And as it turns out, yeah, I'm right. They're just made up and stupid. It all stemmed from a guide to gentleman etiquette, basically, from 200, 300, 400 years ago, I think 400. And I don't have the exact details, I don't have the woman's name whose name was on the original handbook, but then these were since copied over. And the idea of specific names for different groups of animals, the people I just heard talking about it recently basically were saying that the reason they had so many different terms like this was essentially to be able to show what a proper gentleman you were. It was to mark how exclusive your club was. It was the insider knowledge that only a true member of the gentleman class would know. And so therefore, if lesser people came along and didn't know all of the proper terms, then you could mock them for being low class and for not being part of your group. The same way that we have all sorts of lingo today for, you know, for example, how many Pokemon do you know? Yeah, see, that's the bar for entry into the particular, Pokemon subculture is your Pokemon knowledge. And so even back then there were gatekeepers, and this was one of the tools that they used was, you know, were you aware that it was a parliament of owls? You know, how about a pod of whales? A scurry of squirrels, a raft of puffins. Yeah, see, if you didn't know all of that, then maybe we can't let you in the door. So, anyway, I heard that and I thought it was fascinating. Which, by the way, I heard it on my new favorite science podcast, which is The Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week. That's the name of the podcast, The Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week. And it is a podcast put out by the people over at Popular Science Magazine. And they are just entertaining as all get it. It is just a really professional podcast, and I highly recommend it. I was surprised that it is the editors of Popular Science who are forming the people on the podcast, and it's always three of them. Usually, Rachel Felton is their head science writer, and she's usually the host of the podcast, and then she'll bring on two other people, and there's a lot of them that come back on a regular basis. But of the probably 10 different Popular Science editors they've had on the podcast so far, Eight of them have been women, which I found impressive, and I don't know why I didn't occur to me that the editorial staff of Popular Science would be majority women, but apparently it is. And they're all extremely good at what they do. They know their stuff. And more than that, more than being knowledgeable, they are super enthusiastic about the science. This is why they got into this job in the first place, and they love sharing this stuff, and it is just really cool to hear people get super excited about science topics. And so that's what it is, the weirdest thing I learned this week. But we're still in updates. The other update that I have this week is, hold on, I'll find it. Oh, yeah. I mentioned Stand Against Evil last week. And I think I had gotten as far as the end of the first season. It's like, you know, this is, Stand Against Evil is a show on Hulu that is, it's a half hour show starring John McGinley, who I love, and he's Stan, and it is clearly inspired by Ash versus the Evil Dead. I'm sure someone took that same sort of concept. But Stan versus Evil Stan is a grumpy retired sheriff who has to battle witches with the help of the new sheriff. And anyway, there's a small cast of characters. And it is just really funny. But it's, again, when I was watching it, it's like it was enough to keep me interested and to keep me watching, but it wasn't like the best show I'd ever seen. I mean, certainly the special effects are consistently really low grade, which is part of their shtick. I mean, it's very, I think, very intentional that they don't spend a whole lot on their special effects budget, which is just fine because the point gets across. But it's been trying to tell this consistent overarching story. But it also, it tells its consistent overarching story in terms of the Monster of the Week format. So each week is a new witch or demon or whatever it is, that kills sheriffs in its own particular way. And it just didn't quite gel completely until that final episode, which I mentioned. And so now, I've now watched all the way through the second season. Second season, way better. I mean, finally they found their stride. They know what they're doing. And so again, they're only, you know, 22-minute sitcom episodes. So if you want to watch the entire two seasons of 16 episodes, you're only in for like 5 hours and something worth of viewing. It's not like it's going to take a bunch of your time. And again, they're not real taxing on the mind, and they're certainly fun. So, you know, check out Stan vs. Evil. But also to go along with it, yeah, I'm hoping that the second season of Disenchantment picks up in the same way, because I feel like, have you guys watched Disenchantment yet? It's a Netflix exclusive, a Netflix original, and it's from Matt Groening, who did The Simpsons and who did Futurama. And yes, no matter what you hear out, because various reports will pronounce his name many different ways. Groening is the most common way to pronounce it, but I promise you, in one of his very early books in Life in Hell, the Life in Hell series that he did, and I had the early books, and at the beginning of one of those books, in his introduction, he said his own name in the intro, and he said Matt Groening, and then in parentheses he said, rhymes with raining. So it was, that's the correct pronunciation. I don't know why that's important to me, but I know why it is, because I brought it up earlier this week, and whoever I was talking to, one of my kids maybe went, Groening? Are you sure? And I'm like, yes, I'm sure. So anyway, Matt Groening, Simpsons, Futurama, and now Disenchantment. Disenchantment is, whatever it is, 10 episodes worth, about a princess in a fantasy world. And this is the same way that the Simpsons was a send-up of traditional sitcoms, and then Futurama was, you know, a send-up of sci-fi tropes in general. Well, this one's hitting fantasy, and so it's hitting, you know, Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones and a bunch of other stuff. But that's what Disenchantment is. And, man, it's entertaining. It keeps me hooked. I like the characters. There's some certain running gags that I personally find super funny. The names of the elves, I think, every time something surprising happens and they cut to Shaco for his shocked reaction, makes me laugh my ass off. But overall, man, it's not solid. I think there's so much that they've built up to that clearly, like, you know, we have the demon Lucy in the show. There are people behind him, watching him, something, and we never get any reveal on what the heck their purpose is or what's going on with them. I mean, we get to see them. We've learned a little bit about their characters and natures, but yet there's nothing wraps up. Even by the end of the season, we have absolutely no clue who they are or what's going on with them. There's just so much behind the scenes. And so for that, I feel like we could have gotten a little bit more here. I feel like, and I also feel like there just wasn't, I don't know, the storytelling just wasn't as tight as it should have been, or as I would have liked. That there are some jokes that are kind of telegraphed. There's some plot twists that are telegraphed really early. And, jokes that are over-explained. It's like, you know, if you already gave us the visual on it, you don't need to come back and explain the joke in words, because you just gave us the visual. You could have just left it at that, and we would have been fine. You don't have to revisit it to make sure we got the point. Little stuff like that. So overall, yeah, I'm going to watch the next season when it comes out. I mean, it's just enough to keep me going on it, because, and I think a lot of that is I'm just moving forward on good faith, through the credit that's been earned from his previous work. And the idea that, you know, stand against evil. I always want to say versus, stand against evil. You know, hey, it was, you know, mildly entertaining until it got to the end of the first season. It's like, oh, now I get it. Oh, this is awesome. And then really enjoyed the second season. And I feel like maybe Disenchantment can pull that off. I mean, what do they say? Buffy took into the third season before it started to really take off with the ongoing stories and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'll give Disenchantment another season. We'll see. But anyway, that's it for updates. Now it's time, finally, for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me, when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. And first up, it is... Oh, I know what it is.
And now for something completely different.
That's right. Something completely different. This is just stuff I don't have a category for yet. Have you noticed that my voice is a little rough this week? All right. Maybe you think I've got a cold or something, which maybe I do. But more than that, I tore up my voice Friday night going to the Hell's a Poppin' Circus Sideshow Review. And me and Aiden and Jacob all went to see this Circus Sideshow Review together. And I've been to a circus sideshow before that in this same vein. This is one where it is mostly stunts performed on stage. There's a little bit of sleight of hand magic type of tricks thrown in. But for the most part, these are authentic people that will get up there. And like the first one I saw was at the Lollapalooza Festival in St. Louis back in 1989, maybe? No, it had to be 90 or 91. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I was at the Lollapalooza Festival in St. Louis, and we saw the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow back then. And then, the tricks that they performed on stage, it was Jim Rose stapled a dollar bill to his forehead with a staple gun, and the way he did the trick was by actually using a staple gun to staple a dollar bill to his forehead. I mean, it was a little bit of blood, but he did it. We had the dude who took the knitting needle and pierced both of his cheeks. While we were watching, one of their feature acts there was Lifto, who, had the world record for, lifting things, on hooks that went through his testicles. And we weren't allowed to see him because he was banned from St. Louis. But anyway, it's that sort of stuff. It's kind of gross out sort of, some of the stuff that the Jackass guys would do, this kind of thing. Presented in a very showmanship flair sort of way that you're entertained by them. They've got the running patter and the jokes, and then they do these things that make you kind of cringe and make you kind of, but is also very entertaining. And so that's what this one was. And at the Hell's a Poppin' show that we saw. No, it's Hell's a Poppin'. That's the name of it, I promise you. First off, actually, before it even started, because I knew what we were going to because I had seen Jim Rose, you know, 25 years ago. And so now I knew that this was going to be something similar at least. I knew what I was doing. But Jacob and Aiden, I tried to explain to them what this was going to be, and I don't think they got it until we were actually there. I think they were going along because I said I was taking them to the circus and that it was an evening adult show and that they didn't, I don't think it quite sank in. But once we were there, they both had a blast. We all had a great time. And it started off with a local group from Lincoln, Nebraska, Jewel in the Lotus. It is a belly dancing group. And so we got to watch these eight women come out and do all sorts of different belly dancing numbers in different combinations. And they had some of them that had little storylines with them. Some of them involved, you know, fire and different tricks. And it was just entertaining. And they were not spectacular belly dancers. I mean, they were good, but, you know, it's not like they were spectacular. But it was the idea that we were essentially at a burlesque show, and that they came out, and these were women of all ages, all body types, and they came out wearing their revealing belly dancing costumes, and it was very steampunky at times. It was they had some numbers that were a little more metal, a little edgier. They had some that would, and it was just pure entertainment. There was just something joyous, just this celebration of life on stage. And for those of you who have been regular attendees at burlesque shows, you all already know this. And you know what I was watching. I have never been to a burlesque show until now. The MC for the show was a amazing drag queen named Mrs. Ukulemi. And Mrs. Ukulemi is local to Lincoln. She runs a monthly review show there. And she was just charming and able to handle a crowd. I mean, there were some hecklers and there was some people who made some very, very inappropriate comments, and she put them in their place very quick, and it was just fun to watch. And she was, you know, she sang, she danced, she was, you know, told a bunch of jokes, and just really kept this show moving. And we had a great time. Great time. So my hat's off to Burlesque Theater. I love this. I would go back in a heartbeat. We had such a good time watching even just that part. And this was, oh, by the way, this was the first time I've been to a show that starts this late. I'm an old man. And here I show up for, the doors open at 8, which we got there at 8. And so, you know, we were 50 people back in line. Doors open at 8. Show didn't start till 9:30. Man, that is super late for me for a show to start. So, you know, here the Jewel in the Lotus opens up, and we've got an hour's worth of them. And then so by roughly 11 o'clock or so, finally the Circus Sideshow was starting. And that ran until about 12:30. And the Circus Sideshow was exactly what I was expecting. It was super impressive. We had their main act was a dude who was a sword swallower. And he also did, he came out and played the knife game, you know, where you do the knife between your fingers back and forth. And he did it while dressed up in a chicken suit to the tune of the chicken dance. The chicken dance kept getting faster and faster and faster. And I mean, like, you think, okay, you're watching him play the knife game. Yeah, whatever. But Jacob and I both were just cringing all the way through the last about minute and a half of it, because it's like, yeah, I know he's really good at this. I know he does this thing every night, but what if this is the one show where he finally screws up and a finger goes flying in the audience and blood spray? God, and he didn't. I mean, yeah, didn't cut a finger off, but, man, holy crap. It was edge of your seat sort of tense. And it was fun. They had a dwarf who was an escape artist Aiden dubbed him Chris Cherub because he came out in this very metal face paint, and he was very somber, and he had this whole shtick going. This was his personality for the stage. But he, you know, was hanging from the ceiling wearing a straight jacket, and he got out of the thing in under a minute or so or whatever it was. And so he did that. He did a bit where he supposedly swallowed razor blades, you know, stuff like this. They had, oh man, it just kept going. It was just so much. Oh yeah, they had Shorty Dangerously, who was a dude with no legs whatsoever. Like his body ends at the bottom edge of his vest. And so he came out, and Shorty did all sorts of stunts where, I mean, walking around. I mean, he walks on his hands, and he walked around on broken glass, and then they sprayed the glass with lighter fluid, and so then he was walking on broken glass while it was on fire. They did a whole trick with a bed of nails, where he was the top of the pyramid. I can't even remember the dwarf's name, the escape artist guy. Darn it. I should look that up. But anyway, they had him at the bottom laying on a bed of nails, and then there's another bed of nails laid on top of him, and so the girl who was part of their group, Amber lays on that bed of nails, and then put another board on top of her, and then Shorty, the half-man, gets up on top of this pyramid. And it was a show. It was all this just razzmatazz, as it were. I'm doing jazz hands as I say that. But it was a circus, and they kept it going, and they, when each trick got to its climax, they were demanding applause, and they weren't satisfied unless the room was loud. I mean, the screams were loud enough to hurt my ears. I screamed my voice raw for cheering. I mean, not just for them, for the belly dancers ahead of time, but we just had a great time. It was just, something else entirely. My wife did not attend with us because she didn't know what she was going to think of it. She didn't know about the opening act at all. But she had seen a couple of clips of the sideshow review, and she didn't know if she would have been up for it. Afterwards, God, babe, you should have been there. You should have been there. You would have had so much fun. But anyway, that was it. So, if you get a chance to see the Hells of Poppin' tour, cause they travel around the country. It is not Hells of Palooza. It's Hells of Poppin', I swear. I was there. I saw their posters, larger than life, right in front of me. If you get a chance to see them, they apparently they travel around, and this was just part of their company. This was five of them putting on this show. But they have other performers that will join up with them, and so when they have larger venues, they'll set up a whole circus tent and do even larger acts. And so I highly recommend them. It was just a lot of fun. And if you happen to live in the Lincoln, Nebraska area, and you get a chance to see Jewel in the Lotus, I wouldn't knock it. Or for that matter, if you just want to see Mrs. Ukulele, she's around here and has a regular thing at which bar was it? Anyway, it's once a month. You could look up Mrs. Ukulele online. She's got her own website. And very cool. So anyway, that's it for my nerd culture report, or my something completely different. That's what it was. Okay. But while I was there, this is also related to the same show, but get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back, and I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right. It's time for some nerd rage. Okay. So, here's the things that got on my nerves while I was at the show, all right? While we are waiting in line to get into the building, right in front of us is a couple slightly older than me, and they have their granddaughter, who is 2 years old and in a stroller, that they're bringing into the show with them. Now, I would not have chosen to bring a two-year-old to the burlesque show / circus sideshow freak show thing, but again, that's my choice, only because I would be afraid that the kid would get bored or would be scared by all the loud noises and whatnot. I would be afraid of the child disturbing the enjoyment of others or ruining my enjoyment because I would have to leave the venue with them when they became upset. So that's why I wouldn't bring them. But, you know, if you want to bring your two-year-old to this, that's not what I have a problem with. There was nothing. I mean, yes, there were a bunch of really dirty, dirty jokes in this thing and something like stuff like that. But there was no, overt violence, blood and gore. There was no, it's not like a two-year-old's going to get any of the sex jokes. And if they did, well, anyway, that's, it's not like there's anything in there that's going to be bad for the kid, ultimately. Other than, again, it's super loud. It's super loud, and it's a lot of flashing lights and loud music and stuff going on. So, and it turns out this kid was actually pretty well entertained through the whole thing. She was actually really good, and she was entertained, and she seemed very happy the whole time. Here's the problem I have. They're in line ahead of me, And they get inside, and me and my boys, once we get in, we go looking around, and we find a spot that's like, okay, we don't want to be down on the main floor because, you know, unless you're pressing up against the stage, you're going to wind up at the back of the crowd, and then you're trying to see over people. And so we decided that we would get one level up where we're standing on a rail. There's no seating in this place, but we're standing against the rail. So we've got this great rail that is just, you know, like, we're on a dais that's raised up about 2 feet above the mosh pit below us. And so from here, we're above the crowd and we're leaning over the rail and we can see the stage perfectly. We got a great view of everything. It was awesome. Awesome spot to be in. That's great. So somewhere about 30 minutes into the opening act, something is banging against my ankles. And I turn around and it is the grandpa, and he is intentionally bumping into my ankles with the stroller, because I've got the good spot on the rail and the toddler is still in the stroller and she can't see from where she is. And so he doesn't say anything to me. He just gives me a look that clearly says, you know, you're blocking my little girl here. He wants me to move aside so that he can push her stroller up against the railing and watch the show from there. To which I immediately said absolutely nothing, turned around and didn't make any room for him because screw that guy. God, what is, I mean, look, if you had come up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, is there any way you can make some room because my little girl can't see, and I still would have been annoyed with you, but I probably would have moved aside because I would have been too embarrassed being put on the spot to do anything else. And so I would have let you in. But, you know, in all honesty, if you're going to bring a toddler to a show like this, you be prepared to pick her up so she can see. She's only 2. It's not like she weighs 1,000 pounds. I mean, a kid is like 26 pounds tops. You pick her up and you hold her in her arms. There's 2 of you. You can take turns. She'll be just fine. Gah! So I don't let them in. And so they wind up running up against Jacob's ankles and Aiden's ankles. And neither one of them let them in either, because they're on my side on this. I mean, we discussed it afterwards. None of us knew that that's what they had been doing to everybody. But we compared stories and we're like, yeah, I'm not letting those people in. That's their problem. And plus, look, if getting on that rail was that important to them, they were in line ahead of us. They walked in and they had every opportunity to go push up against the rail and save themselves a spot, but they didn't do that. So that's what happens with general admission. Maybe I'm an ogre here. Maybe. But I don't think so. Again, you brought a toddler in a stroller to a show that doesn't start until 9:30 at night, and then you're pissed that you can't leave her in the stroller because then she can't see over the crowd. What did you think was going to happen? I don't get it. Ugh. So eventually the guy next to Aiden did let them in because, oh, look at the cute kid. Yeah, sure, come on up. What's your name? And so they let him in, and then once they've got the stroller up against the rail, well, now Grandma and Grandpa both have to shoulder their way up there, and they wound up pushing us out of the way anyway, so they got what they wanted. Damn them. And then they did wind up, eventually they left that spot, and they did decide to just carry her and put the stroller away somewhere, and then they took her into the mosh pit, got all the way up to the front, and then just set her on the edge of the stage, which, again, you want to carry the baby up to the front so she can see everything really well? That's awesome. You want to set her on the edge of the stage? That's A, dangerous, and B, really presumptive. And no one stopped them, because, I don't know, who's going to say that? Like the performers did not at any time or in any way acknowledge that there was a toddler sitting on the edge of the stage. But she freaking was. So, weird. Anyway, that guy annoyed the crap out of me. Just terribly. The little girl was cute. She was fine. But, man, her grandpa was just a pain in my ass. So, it did not ruin my enjoyment of the show, obviously. I still had a great time, but screw that guy. Also, here's the other part of this rage, is I should be thankful that concerts like this don't stink of smoke anymore, alright? And because that's terrible, walking into a venue where smoking's not supposed to be allowed, but people are smoking, and it just, ugh. So I should be glad that there's no smoking in bars anymore. I should be glad that there's no smoking in a lot of these venues. That's awesome. But stop vaping in public. It's a mosh pit. It's super crowded. People are shoulder to shoulder and you're blowing your fruit scented vape into my face from where you're standing. And it's disgusting. I don't want to smell your lungs. That's what I'm saying. It grosses me out really bad when I can smell someone else vaping in the same room. It's just, ugh. No, you know what? If you want to do that, I get it. I get it. I was a smoker for how many years? I understand the need, but you know what? Get yourself some gum. Get yourself some lozenges. If it's that desperate for you that you don't want to step out during the show, then get yourself another way of taking it, because you're vaping, your big clouds of smoke coming up are pissing me off. Again, am I being an ogre or any of you vapors, and you're going to tell me how I'm being really unfair? Because that's possible. I've been unfair before, so let me know. But, God, you really have to do it in the middle of a crowded venue like that? It's gross. Am I alone in this? It's gross. Ugh. Anyway, enough of that. You know what? I have more stuff that I am just not going to get to because it's going to be a short show today. We are limited on time. I was going to have Aiden come over, but he apparently has to work tonight. So what time is it now?
Yeah.
It is 4:04, so you have to be ready in 15 minutes. So start getting ready. So anyway, that means it's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Uh-oh. R2's dead. R2's switch is gone. Oh, no, there it is. Phew! Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped-out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me have wrong about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. My first number here is 90, which comes from my friend Kaz. Kaz says, "The Teletubbies are real and hungry for human flesh. Conventional weapons barely slow them down. How do you end up dying?" What? You assume that I'm gonna die? First off, the Teletubbies are real and they are hungry for human flesh. Are there still just four of them? Because if so, it's going to take them a long time to get around to everybody. So, I mean, if we just assume that they are unstoppable, rampaging monsters and each of them kills and eats a person a day, it's very possible that I'm just going to die of old age. I mean, clearly. I mean, if I'm going to get taken out by one of them, I want it to be Tinky Winky, just because he's the only one whose name I remember anymore. He was the purple one who carried a purse and had all the controversy about him. I like Tinky Winky. He can eat my flesh as I scream and die. That's fine by me. But other than that, yeah, no, I think, again, I cannot imagine four ravening human-sized monsters able to eat enough to make a dent in the human population in the long term. I mean, like, we have way more people dying in car crashes than will ever be killed by Teletubbies in a single day. I think we're safe. I think we'll be just fine. And that is a 62. And 62 comes from Kyle. Hey, Kyle. Kyle says, "What cartoons have you watched in the last couple of weeks? Have we hit peak cartoons for adults? Or are we at peak cartoons for adults?" His sentence is garbled. There was a typo in there. Either way, no, we are not at peak cartoons for adults, because the genre is entertaining and people are going to keep making new ones. Although, yes, it's gotten to the point where there's plenty of cartoons for adults out there that I'm just never going to watch. Just like there are plenty I'm sure, spectacular movies and TV shows and other stuff that aren't cartoons that I'm just never going to get to. No matter how good they are, I just only have so much time in my life. But the cartoons I have watched in the last week would be, I have watched one episode of Steven Universe the other night, because I promised Jacob I was going to get caught up on Steven Universe, and I've only watched one more episode now, but I'm getting there. And then, man, that's about it. Disenchantment, but in the last 2 weeks, yeah, Disenchantment was a couple weeks ago. Sure, so Disenchantment I've seen, which was not spectacular. So, there you go, that's about it. Yeah, I have not watched much in the way of cartoons, but then, you know, there's all sorts of TV I need to get caught up on right now, And cartoons, the new seasons of cartoons I've been watching haven't come out yet. So, you know, eventually there will be another Archer. Although, after the last season of Archer, man, if they're going to keep this show going, man, I need a return to form in this new season, because the last season of Archer was not as thrilling. So, you know, for what it's worth. Man, am I overly negative this week? I think I might be. 23, my favorite number. This is where it all picks up. 23 makes me happy. And 23 comes from Phoebe. Hey, Phoebe. Phoebe says, attributed to P.G. Wodehouse is the popular saying, to find a man's true character, play golf with him. To what extent do you think this is true of role-playing games? Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. You want to find somebody's true character? No pun intended at all. Yeah, play a role-playing game with that person. It is revealing. I mean, I think playing games with people in general will be very revealing of character, but role-playing games especially, I mean, you have to invest yourself in a character, and the extent to which you can or can't do that will be very revealing about you. The elements of yourself that you choose to put into a character, or that the things that you emphasize, the parts of the role-playing story that are of most interest to you, where you're putting all of your attention, all of these are going to say something about you. And when you think of the old, you know, different types of role-playing gamer tropes that are out there, that you have the power gamer and you have the rules lawyer and you have the over-actor, these are all things that, yeah, those are stereotypes and they're greatly exaggerated, and yet we all have played with people who embody some of those characteristics, all right? And that may not be who they are all the time, but you've seen it happen. You've seen the person for whom winning the game is more important than anything else. You're like, yeah, but it's a role-playing game. It's a story. Well, right, but I still, it's still up to me to come out ahead. I have to be the guy who has the most, or who accomplishes the most, or however this game measures success, I have more of it than everybody else. That's, you know, we've all seen that. We've all seen the person who can't get out of their head and stop metagaming. So it's never about being in character, because they just don't quite understand the point of a character, other than it's just themselves moving this thing along, getting to, you know, trying to solve puzzles and beat monsters and get to the goal. The way we handle interpersonal conflicts within the game, everything. I think it's very revealing in a lot of ways. But, you know, it's also, that's not everything. You know, I suppose nothing is. But anyway, we're done with this one. Alright. Next one is 90. Didn't we just do 90? Or did we do 90 something? I don't know. I think we did 90. Yep, we did. That was the first one we did with Kaz. Alright, we'll do, this one is 57. 57. That one comes from, it comes from Ronster. Hey, Ron. Ron says, would you be good at or enjoy you, okay, I get it. Another typo. Would you be good at or enjoy your boss's job? I don't know how good I would be at my boss's job. I am not the organizer. I am not good at staying way ahead of deadlines, on my own. It's the kind of thing that, like, for example, the reason I have never been the scout leader. I am a scout leader. I am an assistant scout master. I have been a scout den leader. I've held lots of positions within the scouting organization, but I have never been the scout master or the cub master. I've never been in charge of a local group. Because, well, you know what? If I were in charge, I know me, and I know that, yeah, we would get all of our tour permits, filed in time. We would get signed up for all of our camps in time. But, it would be in time at the last minute every single time. And it would be the kind of thing where every time I go to sign us up for something, despite my best intentions, I'd always be doing it at the last minute, such that any mistake or glitch means that, ah, crap, now we're not in, now I have to call somebody down at district, and I have to help straighten this out, and oh, God, I filed a little late, and it did this to me, and now can we get the... I would be a nightmare at that sort of thing. I'm just not good at that sort of stuff. I try, but I'm just not great at it. And I'm sure it's a matter of practice, but, I'm not doing it. And besides now, I've only got a few years left of Scouts, so we're getting to the end. Somebody else can take over after this. So my boss's job involves a lot of the organizational stuff, the paperwork stuff, the, not just making decisions at that big level, but having the vision of not just how to fix a broken system, but how to rework the system completely, to do things a better way. It is then, again, the motivation to move forward on it and get people assigned to certain stuff, and just, I don't know how good I'd be at that. That's not where my skill set lies, at least not right now. So, I don't think I would enjoy it. I don't know that I'd be particularly good at it, but then I've never tried. You know, middle management would be good. Well, okay, wait. My boss. I'm thinking of the top end boss. The middle management bosses? I could probably do that. I don't know how much I'd enjoy it, but I could be decent at that sort of stuff. I mean, I've seen what the bosses, the mid-level bosses do in my organization, and I could do that. But, I don't know how much I'd enjoy that. I might. Well, we'd see. I mean, I'd have to relocate. I'd have to move to Lincoln, which, you know, there's good and bad to that. But, I don't know.
The bad being near Jacob.
Yeah, wait, no. The good would be being near Jacob. How dare you? Well, apparently we're doing one more. Oh my God! 28, and that time the die landed on top of R2 himself. That was really weird. It was like R2 was laying on his back and he was holding the die. 28, I said, I think. 28 is? It's from Ronster again. Other than dice, what sort of things do you collect? What sort of things do I collect other than dice? That's weird. Huh. Noah says I collect my kids' hopes and dreams just for the sole purpose of crushing them. Does that count? I don't know. I mean, I've got my dice and my game stuff. I mean, board games and card games lately. I've got a lot of games now, and I love those. That's about it. It's mostly gaming stuff. So, there you go. All right, anyway, that's the end. I've got to get wrapped up because we got to get out of here. So, let's turn it over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, I didn't have any. But if I did, all the songs I use for my bumpers are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. Wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. You want to help out Nerd Pride? Subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. And write me a nice review or a crappy review, however you want to do it, as long as you give me 5 stars. That's all they care about. If you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. Because if you're enjoying it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth, it's my bread and butter, people. Hell, you could recommend it to 2 friends if you're of a mind. There you go. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me and the Bicoastal Disorder podcast. Awesome. They just have their 3rd episode released this morning. I haven't even had a chance to listen to it yet. I'm excited. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me, come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. We'll be right back. And now it would normally be time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook and post up, hey guys, I am recording right now. Post up anything and I will read it off at the end of the podcast, which is what I would be doing right now, except nobody posted anything. So, this wraps up pretty easily. Yeah, I know. They betrayed me. How ironic. So anyway, that's it. We're just going to wrap it up right here at the 45-minute mark. And you guys are awesome. Yes, kid.
You should make it now, since they fully betrayed you by not posting anything, that they can't post on the forums for a day.
No way. I would never punish them for being busy. They
Do
have
it.
Lives.
Do it.
You guys are awesome. You really are. I love you. I appreciate you listening to me every week. And I'll talk to you next week. See you then.